Today is week 8 of our Proverbs series. Hard to believe, but we are already at the end of this series. And when I was putting the entire series together, I knew that this is how I wanted to end our study in the book of Proverbs. So I have titled this one, The Inadequacy of Traditional Wisdom, or The Elephant in the Room. Now, for the past 7 weeks, what have we been studying? Wisdom. Proverbs, yes, that is correct. We've been studying wisdom. How do we access wisdom? How do we gain it? How do we get it? For 7 weeks, we have been saying, seek wisdom, go for it, attain it, live by wisdom. We've looked at a whole bunch of different ways in which we can find wisdom so that we can access it and then live from that wisdom. And we have also been looking at the many promises of wisdom. Wisdom constantly over these past 7 weeks has been saying, if you follow me, if you hold on to wisdom, this is the type of life that you will come to discover. Last week, this was our verse in Proverbs. Long life is in her, in wisdom's right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways. All of her paths are peace. She, wisdom, is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold wisdom fast will be blessed. These are some of the many promises that wisdom offers. If you find it, life will be good. But if you neglect it, this is basically what the entire book of Proverbs says. If you neglect it, then life will go poorly for you. Let's return all the way back to week 1, one of the verses we looked at in the beginning, 8 weeks ago at this point. Since they, the fools, would not accept my advice, since they spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways, and they'll be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me, this is wisdom calling out. Remember our first sermon, wisdom is calling, she's calling you. Whoever listens to wisdom will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. If you follow wisdom, life will be good. But if you neglect wisdom, it could be a bit rough for you. Now, as I was reading through Proverbs, trying to put together the series, there's a question, there's a thought that just, it kept coming back to me. And maybe you've had this question as we've been looking through Proverbs over the past couple of weeks. And here's the question. Well, what happens when you follow wisdom and you don't find the rewards or the type of life that she promises? What happens when you follow wisdom and yet all the promises that we've been looking at for the past 7 weeks, they're not yours? You're not living into them. Wisdom promises this, and you've been following her, you've been listening, you've been seeking after wisdom, living by it, but yet your life isn't showing the promises that wisdom is saying shall be yours. Another way of asking this question, what about those times when you did everything right and you still get the shaft? You ever been here in life before? You've done everything right. You have followed the way in which you were supposed to go, the way you were told to go, the way that is righteous, and yet you still find yourself at the short end of the stick. Maybe another question, another way of saying this, a question I thought of. Why do bad things happen to good people? And why do good things happen to bad people? That's just another way in which our culture asks this question. Proverbs is a book about traditional wisdom. You do this, you'll get this outcome. You don't do this, you're going to get this outcome. It's pretty straightforward in the book of Proverbs. Wisdom is calling out, don't neglect me, otherwise this is how it's going to go. And this is largely the type of wisdom that is found in Proverbs. But then, then, and I have this in caps, ready for it? Life happens. You ever been here before? And I couldn't shake this question. I was reading through Proverbs. All the promises were here. You do this. But there's been times in my life when I've lived by wisdom, or at least I thought I was living by wisdom, and yet the promise that was supposed to be mine Well, I'm looking around for it because I'm like, hold on a second here. You told me this. You told me if I do this, that this is going to be the outcome. But yet I did this and I have a completely opposite outcome of what was being told or what was being promised to me. And what happens is, when life happens, is you begin to see a complexity to life that hadn't existed before. We could almost say it this way. Proverbs is simplistic in nature. It's very complex. It's very deep. Yes, but at a surface level, it's quite simplistic. You do this, you get that. You don't do this, you get that. But then as you go through life, as you experience different things that happen to you, that happen around you, life gets a bit more complex. And the simplicity that existed in the beginning, earlier on in life, like I look at my kids just running around, their biggest care in the world is if someone will come in the other room and take their banana peel to throw in the garbage. That's the biggest thing that they worry about in life. Or why don't I have a napkin? Can someone bring me a napkin? But now for us, that's a minor nuisance, I would guess, for all of us here in the room. And then we would just get up and we would walk in the other room and get a napkin and everything's okay. But as we go through life, as we experience different things, the simplicity that once existed, I mean, think about teenagers sleeping till noon. Well, the simplicity that used to be there, life gets a bit more complex. This can happen suddenly. There can be an event that just shakes you to the core. Something happens, a tragedy strikes, there's a loss that you experience. And now that which you just, it held you so secure, it's no longer there. And so that simplicity, it's gone. And now in this one sudden event, life becomes a bit more complex. Sometimes it can be sudden. Other times, it can be a bit more gradual. There's a certain string of events. There's a chain of events. Little things begin to add up. And that simplistic way of looking at the world, of looking at life, it begins to erode a bit. And life takes on a bit more mystery, a bit more complexity. The questions that you're asking about life, about your life, they have a little more depth to them. There's another layer that you've come to uncover. So Proverbs is great, but yet then we go through things and we find ourselves asking, yes, but what happens when I don't achieve that which wisdom, which Proverbs is promising? So in the Bible, we have the books of Ecclesiastes and Job. Now, Ecclesiastes and Job are quite different than the book of Proverbs. If you've read through them, they set themselves up differently than the book of Proverbs does. But at the same time, Ecclesiastes and Job are also considered books of wisdom. So within the Bible, there's actually a couple different wisdom books. You have Proverbs, but then you have Ecclesiastes and Job. And here's what one author has to say about both these two books, Ecclesiastes and Job. This is from The Tree of Life by Roland Murphy. With Ecclesiastes and the book of Job, wisdom has entered a crisis situation. Ecclesiastes was a deeply critical and even strident voice that did not sing in tune with the others, but the ancients made room for him among the sages. You have Proverbs, and then you have Ecclesiastes. You have Job. And the message of these two books is very, very different than the message of Proverbs. Proverbs, it's more about simple times, the simplicity. But then Ecclesiastes and Job, they're more about the complexities of life. And what these two books do is they question the tradition. You could say that the Proverbs tradition, the tradition of traditional wisdom, it comes down through the book of Deuteronomy. If you follow God, life will go well for you in the land. But if you don't follow God, then life will go poorly for you in the land. The same idea that we find in the book of Proverbs. Ecclesiastes and Job, they question this philosophy. They question this tradition. And what it shows is this inner dialogue that we have within the Bible. there's a variety of views. We could say a multiplicity of views within the Bible. You have Proverbs, but then you have these other books that are saying, well, hold on a second here. I understand what you're saying, but this happened to me in life. And everything that you're promising, I didn't see it fulfilled in my life. And so let's talk about this a little more. Let's pull it apart a little bit. Let's ask some questions. It's like you're sitting at a table. Imagine the authors of Proverbs, the authors of Ecclesiastes, they're all sitting at a pub drinking their beer, and they're having these conversations about life, about wisdom, about God, because for some people, this has been their experience. But then you go through those things in life that cause you to question, that bring up new ideas and new philosophies. And so what happens is the Bible, it's like a whole bunch of different people with varying viewpoints sitting around a table together having a conversation. That's the thing that I love about the Bible. There's not just one voice that speaks in the Bible, but it's many different voices having a conversation. Because in reality, that's how we begin to understand God. On your own, you will never figure God out. One voice, one person will never come to comprehend the mystery, the vastness of God, or we could say the complexity of life. Two people sitting around a table. You might make it a little bit further. You might dig a little bit deeper, but you will never come to understand the complexity of life. You'll never come to understand the fullness of God. All of us together at a table will never, as many voices as we can have together, as many experiences that we can share with each other of what we have gone through in life, we'll begin to unpack a little bit more about the mystery of life and the vastness of God. And this is what I believe the Bible shows us. We need all of our experiences. We need all of the things that we have seen, the things that we have learned. We get around a table and we talk about it. And so this is what Ecclesiastes and Job bring to the book of Proverbs. Job, I don't want to get into Job. We've talked about Job a couple of times here at Awaken. But basically, here's Job in a nutshell. He has a couple of friends. Job goes through a period of suffering. And the whole story, it's around this idea of a righteous man suffering. Many of us know this story. Job is suffering. He's righteous. He's following God. People call into question, well, what's going on? Why is Job suffering? Obviously, he must have done something wrong. Then he has three friends who appear in the book. And these friends are your holy rollers. These are the people who have read the Bible. They've memorized verse after verse. They go to church every Sunday. They go to Bible study on Wednesday night, Friday night. They have their men's group on Saturday morning. These people, they know all about God. And so they know why Job is suffering. And so they approach him like any good friend would do. Not so much. And they begin to quote the Bible to him. Job, here, let me tell you this. If you would just repent, obviously there's some secret sin in your life. Because we know how the whole thing works. Righteous people don't suffer. It's the unrighteous who suffer. So Job, come on, it's just us. We've known each other since grade school. Come on, you can be honest with us. Tell us, what's the secret sin that you're holding in your life? And Job's like, no, it's not. But they keep conversation after conversation. They keep coming to him and saying, Job, we know there's something in the closet, Job. Come on. That's the whole story of the book of Job. And the whole point of the story is, well, no, sometimes even the good people suffer. Sometimes even the righteous go through hardships. And there is no reason why. It's not because of something that you've done. There's just a mystery at the heart of life. So that's Job. And now here's Ecclesiastes. And oh my gosh. You're going to laugh at these verses I pulled from Ecclesiastes. The author of Ecclesiastes is known as the teacher. Here's what the teacher has to say about wisdom. Ecclesiastes 1:18. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. Isn't that depressing, considering we just did 7 weeks on wisdom? So you've grown in wisdom. Have you become more sorrowful, the more wisdom that you've grown in over the past couple of weeks? The more knowledge, the more grief. Here's another one. I saw that wisdom. Here's the teacher. I saw that wisdom is better than folly. Okay, wisdom is better than folly. I get it. I'll give you that, Proverbs. Just as light is better than darkness. The wise, they have eyes in their heads, while the fool walks in the darkness. But Okay, I'll give you this, but here's what I've come to realize. The same fate overtakes them both. If you're wise, if you're a fool, the same fate will eventually overtake you. So I said to myself, teacher, the fate of the fool will overtake me also. What then do I gain by being wise? And I said to myself, again, this too, wisdom, gaining wisdom is meaningless. Depressing. Depressing. For the wise, like the fool, will not be long remembered. The days have already come when both have been forgotten. Like the fool, the wise too must die. See the contrast between Proverbs and now Ecclesiastes? The same fate. What's the point? The more wisdom you get, the more sorrow, the more knowledge, the more grief. Let me just go sit in the back of a theater and watch Spider-Man. See, Ecclesiastes and Job, they speak to a mystery at the heart of the human existence. We're human. We want a story for everything because that's how our brains work. We want to put everything together. I do this, you do this. That's just how we are wired. We want to understand. We want to comprehend. If something doesn't make sense, we create a story in our heads to help it make sense for us. Ecclesiastes and Job say, hey, you know what? That's great and all, but the truth is you'll never have everything all figured out. Because at the heart of our humanity is a mystery to the whole thing. A complexity beyond that which you could ever even begin to understand. There's just some questions in life, you just can't answer them. You can ask them, but you'll never come to a good answer. There's some things that defy understanding, and oh, I love this. As much as we try to do this, life can't be broken down into a formula. You ever try to do this before? You try to make everything line up perfectly in your life? I mean, think about Proverbs. Do this, you get this. It reminds me of logic class in college, symbolic logic. I took that. Oh my gosh. We heard that things were going to get harder as the semester went on. Third test, I got a 38 on. Because of the curve, I got an 87. What's the point of that? Oh my gosh. But so that's Proverbs. You do this, you get that. But Ecclesiastes and Job, they both say, hey, you know what? You can't boil life down to a formula. Some things, they just don't make sense. Here's Jesus in Luke chapter 13. There were some present at the time. They had told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? You think the ones who suffered, think their suffering was because they were sinners? Because they weren't following wisdom? Because they weren't following God? I tell you, no. No. Uh-uh. The traditional wisdom at the time, same as what we've just been looking at. You don't follow God, life will go poorly for you. And here Jesus is like, life just doesn't work that way. I tell you, no, the people that were suffering, they didn't suffer because they weren't righteous. There's a mystery at the heart of life. Jesus continues, those 18 who died when there's a tower that fell on 18 people, the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. What Jesus is saying here, here's people, they're coming, they're trying to understand why did this tragedy happen? It's a question we ask all the time when we see another tragedy in the news. Because we want to make sense of it. We're human. We can't fathom some of the great harms and atrocities that have happened in life. We hear about another school shooting. What would cause someone to do that? And we come up with some answers, but the truth is those answers, they leave you wanting more. Because there's a mystery. There's a complexity. Here's a bunch of people. They're approaching Jesus. Why? Why did these 18 people, when a tower fell on them, is it because they did something wrong? Were they not following God? And Jesus is like, no. I know this is what you've been told. I know this is what your religion has told you, but in reality, there's just a mystery to the whole thing. And the people that died, they weren't any worse than any of the other people that you run around and spend time with. There's some things in life, they just defy understanding, and no answer could fully grasp the mystery of it all. Now, this raises for me a question, which maybe you're asking a question at this time. Does this mean that our whole series on wisdom was a waste of time? 8 weeks on wisdom, and I'm here to tell you, it was a waste of time for all of you. You wasted your time coming here and listening to these sermons. Why should I still pursue wisdom? After giving a sermon like this, that is my task right now, to sell you on why you should still pursue wisdom. You read Proverbs, then you read Ecclesiastes, you're like, forget about the whole book of Proverbs. Three responses to why you should still pursue wisdom. First, we'll look at Ecclesiastes again. Ecclesiastes 12. Not only was the teacher wise. Here's the end of the book of Ecclesiastes. So after all of this, wisdom, I don't want wisdom. Here's how Ecclesiastes is summarized. The teacher was wise. He had some weird type of wisdom, right? Maybe we could call this wisdom beyond wisdom. Wisdom beyond the simplicity. Not only was the teacher wise, but he also imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered. He searched out and set in order many proverbs. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. What we have at the end of Ecclesiastes is like a commentary on all the teacher's writings. And the person who is writing this, who's summarizing everything the teacher says, is like, hey, the teacher was wise. He searched. He pondered. This is a different type of wisdom than the wisdom that you are used to hearing. Here's what I found in life. You need different teachers for the different seasons of life that you move through. There's some times in life that you need Proverbs wisdom. There's some times in life when you just need it really straightforward and really simple. And it's really helpful for where you are. I mean, I believe that every single teaching, every proverb that we looked at over the past 7 weeks, I found wisdom in those proverbs. That's why I brought them before you, because there was something about them that was speaking to me, and it did something within me, and so I wanted to share it with you because I thought there was so much wisdom there. But then there's some times in life when you have that tragedy. You have those questions, and you need a different teacher. You don't need the teacher of Proverbs. You need the teacher of Ecclesiastes or the teacher of Job to sit with you in the mystery, to sit with you in the complexity, in the times when life isn't making sense, in the times when life, you just don't understand it, you need a teacher who will sit with you in that season of life that you find yourself in. You need someone, and I think Ecclesiastes and Job do this well, you need someone, I can't believe I forgot to turn my phone off. One time I didn't turn it off a couple of months ago, and I told my friend, he kept texting me, and sometimes that's what happens. Someone just gets on a chain or whatever. And I told him, he's like, rookie move. I'm like, I'll never do that again. That's not wisdom. What these books do is they help you wrestle with the difficult questions of life. And this is the model that we're given in the Bible. The Bible helps us wrestle with all the questions that emerge in our humanity. Now, what Ecclesiastes said, it doesn't mean that you jettison everything. You don't look at the book of Proverbs and say, well, forget that book. There's nothing there for me. But rather, what you do is you build layer upon layer. You build wisdom upon wisdom. There's traditional wisdom, but then there is, maybe you could call it post-traditional wisdom. So sometimes you need that traditional wisdom, but other times you need a different type of wisdom to carry you along. And this helps you go deeper into the heart of complexity. Nowhere in the book of Ecclesiastes does the teacher encourage folly. Here's one of my favorite verses in Ecclesiastes. As dead flies give perfume a bad smell, so a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. Nowhere does the teacher say, you know what? It's meaningless. Forget wisdom. Just go and chase after folly. No, right here, he's like, hey, you know what? Just even a little bit of folly can mess the whole thing up. So, yes, wisdom sometimes can produce some problems, but continue pursuing wisdom. Continue pursuing it in your life. And then let's look at this verse in Proverbs. Let's finish it off with a verse in Proverbs since we are in a Proverbs series. Proverbs 24:16. For though the righteous, maybe we could say the wise, though they fall seven times, they rise again. But the wicked, the fools, they stumble when calamity strikes. I love this verse. There's so much wisdom here. The wise, the righteous, you're going to fall because falling is a given in life. Messing up, getting it wrong, neglecting wisdom happens to all of us. You'll be there multiple times in your life. The Christian Bale Batman series, there was this scene right in the beginning, I think, of the first one, when it's young Bruce, and he's there with his dad, and he falls down. Do you remember this scene? It's an iconic movie scene. He falls down, and his dad asks him, he says to young Bruce, why do we fall? And remember what the answer was? I saw Ted and George. You guys both get gold stars today. Yeah, so we can learn to pick ourselves back up. Falling is inevitable. You're going to fall. You're going to scrape your knee. You're going to get some blood on your hands. It's going to happen. It's how we learn. It's how we learn the path for us in life. The wise, those who build their life on wisdom, they'll rise again. But those who build their lives on foolishness, it's going to be a whole lot harder to get back up again when they do fall. Wisdom serves as a foundation to persevere. We looked at this story of Jesus right in the beginning. There's a wise man. He built his house on a rock. But the foolish man, he built his house on the sand. And when the storms came, the wise man who built his house on the rock, the house still stood. But the foolish man who built his house on the sand, well, that house was destroyed. Storms will come and go in life. The complexities will arise. The questions will arise. Those who build their lives on wisdom, as Jesus said, those who listen to my teachings, and Jesus was considered a wise teacher, someone who is offering wisdom for people. Those who build their lives on wisdom, they will still be standing after the storm. They will still be standing after the tragedy. But those who build their lives on the sand, on foolishness, their house will be taken from them. Because there's nothing on the foundation that will help them carry on when a storm does come. And then here's the third reason why to follow wisdom. And it's personal. I figured I would end the series this way. We'll wrap it up with this. Why have I chosen to follow wisdom? And here's my response. Because I choose to believe that it's the best way to live. I choose it. I'm intentional about it. I choose to believe that following wisdom is the best path for me in life. Here's the verse we looked at last week. I'll give you a little Dave commentary on this one. Long life is in her wisdom's right hand. In her left hand are riches and good honor. Think about this. The non-material riches of wisdom for me, it's having good friends. People that I can rely on. good honor. It's having good character. You're someone that others can rely on, that others can confide in, and then in turn, you now have that also from people. If I was someone who wasn't dependable, wasn't trustworthy, if you came to me and you had a secret and you wanted to talk with me about it, and then I started preaching it, like, hey guys, you know what? You know what Nicole just told me? Like, I would never see Nicole again, and rightly so. So wisdom, it offers good character so that when the storms come in life, you have good people around you that can help carry you through. Man, I appreciate this morning we were here before we got started and you guys were all asking, you know, how's Steph doing? I love having this community here walking through life with me. It's what we all want. It's like commitment to a group. I mean, it all wisdom. Finding people in your life who you can share your story, your struggles, the tragedies, the experiences in life that don't make sense, having someone that you can talk to those about, it comes through wisdom. And then her ways are pleasant ways. Her ways are light. Here's what wisdom has taught me over the years. Here's what is too heavy for you. Here's what isn't pleasant. And then here's what is yours to carry. I think we looked at this a bit last week. Her ways are pleasant. They're light. There's been times in my life when I've realized I have been carrying way too much. You learn what you can carry. You learn what's yours. This is what wisdom is teaching me. This is too heavy for you. You got to let this go. You got to jettison this because this isn't yours. And the truth is, as I've been learning this, as I've been listening to this voice of wisdom, life feels a bit more pleasant. And what wisdom teaches you is that you don't need to be responsible for everyone else. You need to be responsible for that which God has placed in front of you. And that's it. That's what's yours to carry. You don't have to carry everyone else's luggage. You can carry your own luggage and you can help other people along the way, but you don't have to carry everyone. You don't have to feel responsible for all of it. And then all of her past are peace. 6 years ago, I started seeing a therapist because I just couldn't keep moving forward in life. I was totally fried, totally burned out, taking on so much that just wasn't mine to carry. And I couldn't work. I couldn't put a sermon together, having a hard time functioning. It was burnout. And so I took 2 months off. Well, I've been speaking with the same therapist now for 6 years, and we were just talking about this the other week where life has been really difficult right now. With different health issues that we've been facing. And I'm still here. I'm still able to put sermons together. I wasn't able to do that 6 years ago. And what he said is that you've learned to lower your baseline anxiety. We all have anxiety. It's all there. How can we learn to lessen it? How can we lower it so that when something happens in life, we can absorb 3 to 4 decibels of anxiety? If you're already at a baseline 7, well, then 3 more is going to put you up to a 10. It's going to make it really difficult to just do the basic things of life. But if you can learn to lower that anxiety so your baseline is maybe at a 3 or at a 4, well, then you can absorb it when something happens in life that just spikes your anxiety a little bit because you've learned to lower the baseline. That's what wisdom has been teaching me over the past 6 years. Here's how to take care of yourself. Here's how to lower that anxiety so you can be ready when inevitably something else comes up in life. She's a tree of life to those who take hold of her, a vitality. The tree of life, it represents vitality. Well, yeah, when you're walking lighter, when you have less anxiety, you're going to have more life and more energy in you. It's just a natural. It's just a given. And then those who hold her fast will be blessed. Here's how I look at it. I feel fortunate for the life that I'm creating with wisdom. And I say that word with intentionally because wisdom is to be like a partner. Wisdom is a partner that you carry with you through life. We each create our lives. We're creating the life that we're living by determining what thoughts we carry around with us, the actions that we go through on a regular, consistent basis. For me, when I think about wisdom and how wisdom is teaching me to live in a particular way, I feel fortunate for the life that I'm creating with the guidance, the voice of wisdom. So yes, still pursue wisdom. Sometimes it's lacking. Sometimes you need another voice, like the teacher in Ecclesiastes, to sit with you for a while. But wisdom has so much to offer, and I choose to believe that living by wisdom is the best way to live. So I'll keep studying Proverbs. I'll keep mining it for its wisdom, because I think there's plenty more there. 8 weeks just scratched the surface of it. Maybe we'll return to Proverbs at some point in the future. But for now, 8 weeks of wisdom that I pray has helped and will continue to help as you keep creating your life. As you decide what to allow in and what to keep out. So my prayer for you as we close this series of wisdom is that you would continue to seek it. That you would continue to listen to her voice. That you would continue to do all you possibly can to live by wisdom. And when you need the teacher, when you need Job, turn to those pages. Because sometimes life is mysterious and complex, and you need to be reminded about that. You need to hear that voice. You need to sit with that teacher for a while. But may you continue to neglect folly, to not sit at the table of death with others who are neglecting wisdom. But may you choose to sit at the table of wisdom. And as you do so, may you find life and peace. May you lower your anxiety. May you lessen your burdens. May you find a pleasant life, the life that Jesus is offering every step in every moment.